Hey, friends, it's your intrepid warrior, David Land Julie, with Margaret Katzcan coming to you for the Fundraising Leadership Podcast today. Hey, Margaret.
Yes. Hey, David. And today I'm joining from my new spot for winter, which is Crested Butte, Colorado. So super excited. Just got here like 2 days ago.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to visiting you. Times when you're there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm coming from my home in Naples, Florida, where we had a hurricane pass us by. At least the my neighborhood thankfully didn't suffer much damage or flooding, although there were parts of Naples that did. And I was speaking with Margaret prior to the hurricane, like, are we gonna go? Are we gonna evacuate? Are we not gonna evacuate? And I was like, well, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. My
Yep.
father's favorite expression, like when he didn't want to make a decision.
We'll see. And I'm trying to remember what my dad's exact words were, but I think, something to the effect of like, never make a decision until you have to.
Right. Yeah. So in the past, for the Irma and Ian, we stayed and we were kind of miserable for like a week each time. And this Milton hurricane initially looked like it was going up north, towards Tampa, and then it started turning south, which is exactly what the last hurricane did, and we got hit pretty hard, so we weren't sure. So the morning of the hit, like that Wednesday morning, we just said, okay, we're out of here.
Yeah, you
Like,
just
yeah, we had all our supplies, and just as you said, you brought a bunch of supplies from your home in Boulder up to Crested Butte. We had, we had all this water, and we were just going to the other coast of Florida, and it could have gotten pretty bad over there. So we kind of brought all our food and water over to my father-in-law's apartment, which was vacant and had nothing in it. So we had to bring some stuff. Yeah.
yeah. And we were sort of talking about this. And first, just a love shout out. I know, there are a lot of people still in many states across the Southeast who really did get hit very, very hard and who have lost lots and lots of things. And we have just enormous compassion for all of the people and communities that did get hit so hard by this hurricane. And it's an entry point of our conversation. But I think what we really wanted to talk about was this leadership topic of when to make decisions. And
Right.
to me, it's super interesting. I feel like lots of times with my clients, people get really wrapped around the axle. There's an expression I haven't said in quite a long time, but in trying to make decisions. And sometimes they're trying to make a decision before it's time, right? They're not in will see mode. They're trying to force a decision. And there is something about how you treated the hurricane and whether to stay or whether to go that I think it's a great example to talk about this topic.
Yeah, just a shout out to everyone who wasn't as fortunate as we were. I know you're going through a lot and have lost a lot and lost some loved ones. What I am grateful for is that a lot of folks in on Milton heeded the warning to evacuate, including us. We did. We heeded the, well, this was like looking like a monster, of a storm. And it could have been a lot worse had folks not, especially up in Sarasota, between Sarasota and Tampa, where this thing hit really hard, we could have had a lot more loss of life. So just grateful for everyone who did get out of the storm's path, even though you may have had some property loss and damage. Yeah. But on the decision front, yeah, I tend to be someone who will decide quickly, generally. This was actually a stretch for me not like to decide right away. You know, I'm one of those people like high D on the disc, very decisive, you know. Then you have like people who are, you know, high C or high S on the disc. Oh, they like to maybe not decide so quickly.
Yeah, sorry if you can hear my dog has found something to bark about. I'm hoping that noise is not getting picked up. I think it's really uncomfortable for people to be in a place of not decided, right? You and I talk about that as kind of liminal space where you know something is changing, has changed, but you don't know what's going to happen next. So that's called a liminal space. It's one of my favorite words. I think it's one of David's favorite words because it really describes such a huge part of life and such a place where humans are so wildly uncomfortable. And so I think we often force a decision before we have to because it's really uncomfortable sitting and not having made a decision.
True. Yeah, it was definitely uncomfortable not deciding, you know, should we go, should we not go? And well, what do you have to lose if you go? You know, well, we may not be able to come back, you know. I mean, there's always cons as you know, as we say, there are consequences to deciding or not deciding. Yeah, John Wick from the John Wick movies, consequences, you
Who's
know.
quite a philosopher, right? Yeah. I think that's true. Well, sometimes we make a decision by not making a decision, right? We miss a deadline for something, or we don't make a plan and the time goes by and we end up having decided, I guess we're not doing this, right? I guess we're because you've missed the window
Well,
to
this
do it.
liminal space, one way of describing it is no longer, but not yet. It's the space between no longer and not yet. And that's where you just have to sit in discomfort because you may not have enough information to make a decision. The consequences one way or the other might be quite severe. And then some of the saboteurs might come in, you know, that we talk about a lot. So, you know, there is the avoider saboteur. So some people avoid making decisions at all costs. Like they live in the land of we'll see.
They live in the land of we'll see. But I feel like somewhere in there, in the world of leadership, there's a sweet spot, you know? And if you make the decision too soon, sometimes you're making a decision that's really in your head, you know, that you haven't checked in with your gut, or maybe you don't have all the data that you need to make the choice. You know, there may still be an unfolding story. And then if you wait too long, you're into the land of avoider. But somewhere in there, it seems like there's usually a sweet spot for decision making. Do you find that with your
Yeah.
clients, with your leadership clients?
You know, where I've learned and where I work with my coaching clients is on listening to their intuition, when it comes to decision making. And like in this particular case that we're describing about should we go? Should I say or should I go now? Just need to get a little singing in and on the podcast.
I
So,
mean, it wouldn't be a podcast without a Clash song, just saying.
yeah, exactly. I wasn't feeling. I was really like the rational, analytical thing to do would have been to just leave, like that would. And also, if you're hypervigilant, which is another saboteur that will sabotage how you make. Decisions like the hyper, oh, get the hell out, right? Hyper, you know, you can stay safe. That would be, you know, but I wasn't feeling, you know, and Lillian, I was consulting with my wife, and you know, we weren't really feeling that pull that we were like checking in on our intuition. It's like, yeah, it's but then there was still something there. It was really hard to put my finger on it. And so Tuesday night, I looked at So then you can get more information. Like you're in this land of liminal space. So we were kind of in this land of not knowing. And so I said, let me look at Alligator Alley. This was Tuesday night. And it was one big red line.
And
And I
that's
was
the, just
like,
for those of you who don't know, that's the highway that goes between Naples to Miami, kind of that cuts across
right.
from
Cuts
east to
across
west,
the,
that part of Florida.
yeah, it cuts across the Everglades, and it's a two-lane road either way. And it was red. I was like, there's no way. Like, that was clear. Like, there's
Yeah.
no way. That was very clear on the decision. There's no
Right.
way I'm getting on that road right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like that was just super clear. And I said, well, we'll take a look in the morning. We'll see where the storm is. We still had time. They weren't shutting the road. This where we were going was, an hour and a half, 2 hours away by, depending on traffic. So we could go at any time prior to the storm hitting,
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like listening. It's a listening, like not listening with your ears, but listening with your gut, as you said, Margaret. That's the intuitive part. Yeah.
Yeah.
How
Yeah.
about you? Where do you, with your clients and with yourself, where are you, in decision making? Like, I know with this Crested Butte thing, you were in a liminal space for a while because you and I were talking about, hey, I want to come out there and go skiing with you. And well, I haven't just, not, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's an interesting. I'm not sure that was a decision. I must have made a decision someplace because once I made the decision that I wanted to be here, then I started paying attention and looking for contacts here, so that was, but it didn't feel like as active of a decision as, as what you're talking about. But I have written about, I would say that there's the like a historic version of Margaret was much more of a brainy decision maker. I would make lists and I would have my pros and cons. And one of my best examples, and I did write a blog about this, but after my divorce and I was looking for a new place to live, and I'd rented a few places and finally was able to look for a place that would be my own place. And I had kind of a checklist of, I wanted a bathtub and I was hoping for a gas stove, like I had a few things that I wanted. And I must have looked at, I don't know, 10 or 12 different places that had every one of those boxes checked. And I was very like, I could live here. I mean, I could, like, it meets all of my requirements. And luckily, my realtor was really intuitive, and she was like, "You can't buy a house if you only feel like that." And then eventually, we looked at a place, and I walked in, and it just made my heart sing. And I'm here to tell you, it was missing about 8 of the 12 things on my list, and I didn't even care. Like, it was just my gut. I just had this vision, like, I want to drink coffee in this kitchen, like, until further notice, this is where I want to be. And there was something so not tangible, and it doesn't have a garage. So every morning I, if it snows, I'm out there chipping the ice off my car, and I don't care. Like, my checklist was such a brain motivated place to make a decision from. And this was, I don't know what happened to me in that moment, but I suddenly became a heart and gut based decision maker.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. So would you say that would you say that was like a pivotal moment for you in how you listen to your intuition and how you decide, or was this something that has been evolving for you over time?
Boy, that's a great question. I mean, we all have intuition, right? Like, for our whole lives. But I think many of us grow up in circumstances, whether it's, how your family operates or your community, or, you go to a certain kinds of schools, high schools, colleges, where intuition is valued much less than preparation and cerebral, acuity. And I think we all have intuition. I'm going to say I probably repressed and suppressed my intuition, and I devalued it. And I thought, this isn't the best way to make choices. There's a safer way to make choices, and that's by weighing things out. So
Yeah.
it has
So
made me
do you think
sad.
some of the work that you and I have done in being coached, in becoming coaches, in going through our leadership program helped you open up more to listening to that still small voice.
Yeah, I mean 100%, right? I mean, because we hear the statistic, right? 80% of communication is nonverbal, right? Which most of us are like, yeah, but no, right? Like, really that much? And then I think, though, as we go through coach training and we get, sort of trained and we practice listening to what's not being said, to the pauses, to the tone of voice, like to, which is not, that's not a cerebral place to be, right? That's a very intuitive, sixth sense sort of place to be. And there's so much information there. And I think once I started looking there's no more turning off intuition after that. There's no
Right.
more.
So it's interesting that you use your, which is not too long ago, the journey for you finding, your cottage where I've stayed many times, and because buying a home is one of the most stressful decisions that people make, and I've just been through it also this year, and the interest, so this is relatively new, I think, for both of us, and just trusting it. And I'm curious, like when you were in the cottage touring it, and you just knew, what was it that, if you can remember, like what was it that, like had you know?
Yeah, again, I think I just I had one foot inside the door. Like that's how long it took me. I hadn't looked at the bedroom. I just you walk in the front door and you can see sort of the it's a cottage, just like it sounds, small. You can see kind of the the upstairs little living area and the kitchen. And I looked into that kitchen and I had this vision of myself standing drinking my coffee there every day forever. And that was it. I was a goner. Like love at first sight.
That's good. My own journeys at, folks in the audience, tying back to Hurricane Milton, so folks in the audience may know that in the spring, Lillian and I moved off the beach. Having been through a hurricane on the beach, we made a decision to move off the beach.
Inland,
And
yeah.
like you, we were looking at a lot of different options more inland. And but there was also a lot of, so I want to come to the emotional part of this, because everyone, you read a lot about how you shouldn't let emotion get in the way, it should be a rational, analytical decision, Except now the behavioral science says that we actually make the decisions emotionally, and we justify them with rational analytical analysis. So it was, we looked at a bunch of places as you did, and I found the one we eventually bought and we're living in now. And I just kind of knew, like, this was the place, for
Yeah.
us, as you did. And it didn't have all the things, all the buzzes and whistles that we would have liked. But Lillian, my wife, it took her some considerably more time.
To get there, yeah.
And it was so clear, and you and I talked about this. You and I had many conversations about this, because this took some time. We were both emotionally attached to the old apartment and the location, and even though sort of the rational analytical in the mind knew that it was going to be a good choice for us to sell that unit and move into a safer place, it was harder emotionally to eventually execute that choice.
Yeah, and I love that. I do remember that, and it was hard. And I think many of us, that does tangle our decision making, you know, not being ready to be finished with the last thing. You know, you're almost in the liminal space, but you still have a foot sticking out into, you know, what's behind you, kind of. You haven't fully jumped yet. And I think that makes it hard. But something else that you're talking about, you know, I don't think as we talk about being more intuitive and decision making, you know, I'm not saying, oh, throw your brain under the bus. Right. It's actually, I think the beautiful place of decision making is when you're recruiting from all those places of wisdom in you.
Yeah, I like
Right.
that. No, that's
Yeah.
true. Absolutely. And it's a balance. You know, it's a balance between the left brain and right brain activity.
Right. And your
And
brain said after the last hurricane, like, whew, I don't think I want to live, you know, with my windows facing the hurricanes anymore. Like that was kind of a brain decision.
yes.
And then you had to keep going back and forth between your brain and your heart, and your heart and your brain and your heart,
Yeah,
back and forth. Yeah.
exactly. It was a good, you know, and a lot of stuff, a lot of decision making gets caught up in money. And so, we both kind of knew like this was a good choice for us financially. And it proved
Yeah.
to be that, right? We
Right.
harvested the profits from that condo. And we kind of knew that was all going to be there for
Right.
us and lower our cost of living and get out of the path and, of storms. And sometimes so in that particular example, we leapt. We took the leap. So this is something about being in the liminal space that is also I've done many times. You have to take a leap. There's a trusting, there's a faith that's involved that things will turn out okay. You
Yeah.
know, and no decision, unless you shoot yourself in the head, is fatal. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now in hindsight, not just the wisdom of moving off the beach and being in a safer locale and out of the direct path of storms and the rational analytical stuff, like it makes sense financially to do this. But there's now we have really come to appreciate this space that we're in now, that we never could have analytically foresaw how much we actually are loving this space now. So there's something else, right? You can never analyze your way to the emotions that you're going to experience
Yeah,
on the other side of this decision.
right. And I think part of the, you know, the trouble was when you believed like we're never gonna like a place as much as we like our place, you know,
Yes.
that's close
Yeah.
to the water. Like you, that was a belief that you had. It was a narrative.
It was. It
Yeah.
was. It was. And I was, when we stayed over at my father-in-law's place over on the east coast of Florida, out of the path of the storm. And when we came back, I had such a not just a great appreciation for having made a good decision, from the rational analytical perspective. But I was like, oh man, I really missed, like, I really like being here.
Yeah, I love that. I feel that way every time I walk into my house. I'm like, oh, I love it here. Yeah,
So,
it's
like, I think we're giving you like some examples here where it's just not black and white. It just isn't,
right. And your brain wants it to be black and white, and that's why we get wrapped around the axle when we try to make decisions just from our brain.
Yeah.
We're trying
So
to,
I'm definitely embracing more. We'll see these days. I would say if you're a we'll see kind of person and you tend more towards the avoiding spectrum, I'm going to invite you to maybe listen to your intuition more and go with that. You know, I tend to be someone, and if you're more of like the rational analytical thing, and if you have your pros and cons and it looks good on paper, maybe a little bit more, we'll see.
Yeah, a little more we'll see. A little more like, whoo, maybe there's more gray to look at here, not just the black and the white. And it's through your heart and your gut that you can sometimes see a little more of the gray in a good
Yeah.
way.
And look, if you guys are out in the audience, you are a leader of a team, and or you actually have a leadership team where folks are reporting to everyone else on your team, and you want to learn more about how to hone this skill. We actually train leadership teams in the art of coaching where this lives.
Yeah.
Accessing your intuition in how you make decisions. That's actually a coaching context. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
It's
reach
a
out
great
to
tool.
us if you want to learn more about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And otherwise, go put it into practice.
Go put it into practice. Start, listening to your intuition and either going in the other side of the seesaw of we'll see, and we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Take care.